Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe shares how your Father in Heaven is waiting to catch you up in His loving arms. But first, far too many Christians avoid the book of Revelation because of its mystery. But this final book of the Bible is filled with hope for you. And Stuart Briscoe wants to help you unravel the mystery of the end times with his 8-message series, End Times, What's Going On? It's our thanks for your gift today to keep this broadcast going strong. So call today to request your copy. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with her encouraging message, Experiencing Forgiveness.
I want to talk about that huge human longing for belonging, human heart longing for home, that the whole world has, though it doesn't always know it, until something happens to panic them, to frighten them. Well, as I was thinking of the parable I was going to share with you, it was a perfect one because I want to share the prodigal son with you and his longing for home that he didn't know he had until he ended up in the pigsty. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 15, I want to read this story, very familiar story, but it's like a good solo, it's like a good song, it needs repeating. It doesn't matter how many times you repeat a favorite song or hear a favorite song. So it is with some of the parables. And this, of course, one of the best known parables that Jesus ever spoke about. There was a man, verse 11, who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Well, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and he came near the house and heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and he asked him what was going on. 'Your brother's come,' he said. 'Your father's killed the fatted calf, because he's got him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who's squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" You know, Jesus wants a lost world to come home, to become citizens of the kingdom. That has to happen here and now, while there's time, while there's opportunity. "Quick," says the father. "Let's take this opportunity. He's repenting. He's coming home. Quick. Don't let's get him changing his mind." There's an urgency about the fact that we live among a human race that has only a window of opportunity called life. And we have no idea when that window will be shut. Absolutely no idea. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Nobody knows. Only God. He alone, the Bible says, knows the day and the hour when it will be too late to come home. Too late to come home. Now, let me take this parable in two pieces. It's a wonderful picture that Jesus was trying to get across to the Pharisees, who didn't think they had to come home to God and repent, etc., etc. They were rather like the older brother, proud. And Jesus, trying to make a point with them, starts and tells this story, because God is into lostness. He's into seeking and saving that which is lost. He's into being the good shepherd. He's into being the woman sweeping the house for the coin until she finds it. God loves lost things, like us. And so it's a wonderful picture of God. And if you just take the very simple picture, let me remind you what it teaches of the Bible's doctrine on sin, redemption, and glory. The Father is a picture of God himself, no question about that. The loving Father who lives in this incredible kingdom, in his beautiful mansion. And the Bible teaches that in, as Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know if you've ever noticed that in John 14. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, what that means, I'm not sure. But there's certainly a kingdom, and within that kingdom, dwellings, the word is. And there is a loving Father, God, creator, ruler of all things. And the Father in this story is undoubtedly a picture of God. The Son, the prodigal Son, is a picture of the human race, born to privilege in Eden. And of course, what happened is a picture of the fall of man. Paradise simply wasn't enough. Paradise wasn't enough. We know the story. And Adam and Eve said, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And everything given by grace was taken by right, as it were. It's my right to have all these things that actually were given by grace. So they took their rights, as it were, and turned them into wrongs. Adam and Eve said, give me what is mine. Give me the inheritance that you have put around me. And like the loving father in the story, God said, take it. He didn't run after the prodigal. Not long after that, it says here in the parable, not long after he had started to take what God had lent him as a steward to look after, and make it his own by right. Not long after that, he took off out of the Father's presence. And if you read the book of Genesis, then you will see this is exactly what happened in Eden, in paradise. That Adam and Eve said, give me, give me, give me, took what they shouldn't have taken. And not long after that, they set out for a distant country. Actually, it says in Genesis that God drove them out of paradise, out of his kingdom, out of his presence. And they set off for a distant country, a far country. And there the human race has squandered their wealth in wild living. There's another word in some of your translations, rebellious living. Squandered, wasted their lives in disobedience, disobedient living. And so the far country is a picture of where the majority of mankind live today. It's a picture of a place lived where they can live out their rebellion. They're not perhaps aware of this, but that's what the Bible says is happening. It's a state of mind in people that is characterized by distance. If you ask people, what do you feel about God? Well, I don't feel he's very near. I feel he's far away. I mean, there's been one time in my life I might have felt him near, but if you ask me if I feel he's near now, no, I don't know where he is. He's sort of out there. He's distant. And of course, that's because they're not where they should be. They're not at home. They're in the far country. So it's a state of mind characterized by distance. And the wasted life is the one that is lived in the far country. The wasted life is the one that's lived in the far country. So if we live in this state of mind, we waste or squander our lives. Thank you.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She's headed right back to God's Word for more on how you can experience His overwhelming forgiveness. But before we dive back in, your partnership helps bless countless people with the Briscoes' teaching here on Telling the Truth. You're helping encourage listeners like Jackie, who says, "Jill and Stuart, we've been following you for many years now, and it's been such a blessing. You're our spiritual mentors. We've loved being part of your ministry as well as your teaching. Thank you for your faithfulness." Thanks for listening, Jackie. We're glad you've been encouraged. That's the kind of impact your partnership has on listeners around the world. So if you've never given before, please consider a gift today to help more people experience life in Christ. We'll show you our appreciation for your support by sending you Stuart Briscoe's 8-message series, End Times, What's Going On? In this series that Stuart prepared for years to preach, he'll dive into the Apostle John's writings in the book of Revelation to help you uncover how God is unveiling his prophetic plan and what it means for you today. You'll discover how to read the book of Revelation, the promises God makes for the end times, and how its prophetic words can strengthen your faith today. You don't want to miss this hopeful message contained in the Bible's final book. So request your copy of End Times when you give today. And thank you for helping more people around the world experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's more from Jill.
Now, what happened to this prodigal was that he ended up homeless. Now, he had a lot of money, must have been able to rent a place out, which he probably did. But living in the far country is expensive, and he became homeless. He spent everything he had. It says there arose a famine. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in want. He began to be in want. And I don't know if you know people, I certainly know people, who have spent an incredible amount of energy, time, and money, resources, in the far country, and yet they begin to be in want. The more they spend, the more they want to spend. To see it is to want it is to have it. It's the greed need. But when they get it, it's never enough. It's never enough. And there's this sense of homelessness. I was talking to a very, very wealthy person last year. And as I was talking to him, I thought, this man's homeless, which is a funny sort of thought, because we happened to be standing in this incredible mansion, one of the mansions that he owned. And yet he was homeless. He was as homeless as the man in the gutter in New York who's homeless. He was spiritually homeless. And it showed. It showed in his talk. It showed in the distance that he was verbalizing, that he felt himself in his heart. And I was able to tell him that everybody's born hungry. And when you began to be hungry, when you began to be in want, that's the beginning of a whole new universe, whole new experience in your life. The famine. You come to the end of yourself. You can't meet your own needs anymore. Now, something usually happens to make you aware of that need. It doesn't need to be the pigsty. There's all sorts of pigsties. There's pretty pigsties, posh pigsties, you know. Intellectual pigsties, and all sorts of pigsties. It doesn't need to be rock bottom to bring you home like the prodigal. But something needs to happen to alert you to this distance, to this sense of homelessness, this sense of, I want to go home. In the case of this young man, it was a famine in the land. Actually, what happened to him was he came to his senses and said, well, life in the far country is not what it's cracked up to be. It's not doing it for me. I think I've quoted this how many times because I think it sums it up. There's quite a famous starlet that got into drugs and everything that a lot of people get into. And she said, I was looking for mind expansion and pain reduction. However, I found mind reduction and pain expansion. I was looking for mind expansion and pain reduction. ended up with mine reduction and pain expansion. However, she did come home. And it was that particular experience in that quite well-known starlet's life that alerted her to the fact she was homeless. She was homeless. You know, the devil tells all sorts of lies. He did to Adam and Eve. He tells the human race, you will find friends in the far country. Yes, you will. True. But he doesn't tell you what sort of friends. He doesn't tell you there'll probably be, not always, but probably and mostly, fair weather friends. There was a famine of real friendship out there. He was homeless. He was friendless. No one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. It's a loveless sort of place where people that you trust let you down and everyone's out for themselves. And he was foodless, of course. You remember the devil told Eve, there's food in the far country. You must taste it. It'll bring you satisfaction. No other apple on any other tree can bring. And yet when you get there, there's this incredible sense of eating, taking your fill of whatever it is, and yet getting hungrier and hungrier and emptier inside. He longed to fill his stomach with the husks that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And he said, here I am, starving to death. Now, it makes sense when you think of humanity made for God by God to live in touch with God. If he's out of touch with God, he's going to be hungry. You can eat as many forbidden apples as you like, you'll still be hungry. Now, I'm quite sure as he began to come to his senses, he said to himself, I was born for better things than this. And you have to understand Jesus' figure of speech here. He was talking to Pharisees and Jews, big crowd around him. And Jews and pigs don't get on very well together. And so what Jesus was doing with this little piece of the story was saying this young man got about as far away from his roots as he could get. As far away from his upbringing, as far away from everything his father had put into him, as far away as it was possible to get. He was feeding the pigs and he was sharing their food, pig food. And I imagine he felt very useless with all his education, with everything that he'd done. This is not what life ought to be. You can just start and see the wheels turning. Work gave him no sense of value or purpose. And I'm sure he didn't wake up every morning and say, yay, this is what I was created to be. Come on, pigs, let's get to it. You know, I see people pin themselves to citizens of the far country. I see them pin their hopes in a person or marriage or friendship or romance. And yet that's not going to do it, because there's still a heart in man that says, I want to go home. And you know, when any prodigal is lost in the human race and they come to themselves and they decide to come home, you can be sure of one thing. The Father is standing on the rooftop of heaven and he's watching. Now, what's he watching for? He's watching for the first step. He's watching for the first step. And he waits. The young man says, I'm going to set out, I'm going to back to my father, I'm going to say to him, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he said to his servants, look, he's coming home. He's coming home. And that always touches me very much when I think of God waiting and watching. And it touches me because he ran down the stairs of that house. And he ran down the road. And he cradled his son. And he didn't make him crawl. He didn't make him crawl. Older brother would have made him crawl. But the father didn't make him crawl. He hurried to forgive, to cleanse and heal, to restore and remake. He put a robe to cover his sin. Gave him back his rights by giving him shoes. Only sons wore shoes, servants went barefoot, and a ring on his finger gave him authority to do his work. The stamp of his image on the ring. He forgave him. Now, of course, it cost him to do all that. It cost God to come down the stairway of heaven with a baby in his arms and put him in a bale of hay. It cost God to come in Christ, and it cost Christ to go to the cross. But that's where I believe the Father met the Son, at the crossroads, wherever they were. And he covered him with the robe of redemption and said, "Welcome home. Let's celebrate."
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. And she'll be right back to answer some important questions about God's forgiveness. Do you ever wonder where this world is headed or what the end of days hold for humanity? If so, there's no better place to search for answers than the book of Revelation. And while many shy away from this final and mysterious book of the Bible, it contains so much encouragement for you today. That's why we're excited to send you Stuart's 8-message series, End Times, What's Going On? As our thanks for your gift of support to keep broadcasts like today's message coming your way and going out through Telling the Truth's global ministry. This series helps you unravel the mystery of the end times and discover the hopeful assurance it brings for you as a Christian. We pray this series motivates you to holiness, obedience, unshakable peace, and a passion to make each day count for Christ. So request your copy of End Times when you call to give today. And thank you for helping more people experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's chat with Jill about a few key points from today's message. Jill, human life seems to last a long time, but you're saying our opportunity to be forgiven is brief. Why do we need to act now?
Well, we don't know how long our life is going to be. The Bible says it's a mist, not a must. James says that. It's brief, says the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is brief. And so brief, it's like a breath. So brief, it's like a mist. So the pictures that we have in the Bible is how brief life is. The opportunity to be forgiven is therefore as brief as our life. But the other thing is this, you can't just come to God when you want to. You cannot come to God unless the Spirit of God draws you. The Spirit of God is drawing everybody. If we resist his approach, if we turn our back on him, don't presume he's going to be drawing you forever. And the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. And you see it in the story, actually, of Moses and Pharaoh. And Moses gave Pharaoh a chance. This is what God is telling you to do. And Pharaoh resisted, and Pharaoh resisted. And in the end, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It says in the Old Testament, God hardened people's hearts who continually resisted him after they'd been given a chance. And that's the thing I'm really talking about. Don't presume, oh, well, God will always be hanging around waiting to forgive me when I'm ready. You don't know that. And if God is drawing you and giving you the opportunity and convicting you so that you know you need to say, Lord, forgive me, and receive him as your Savior and receive forgiveness, don't presume you'll have another chance. You might, in grace, you might have 200 chances, but you don't know. None of us know. And so we must not resist the drawing and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, convicting us of sin, helping us to commit our lives to Jesus. And I have met people, only one or two in my life, who have frighteningly said to me, I had my chance, but I don't feel any sense of need anymore. And I think, oh, my word, did they resist until it was too late? And the Spirit of God quit drawing them. You can only come to God when he draws you.
Thanks so much, Jill. We hope you're encouraged by today's message. Before we go, remember that you can get End Times, Stuart's 8-message series on the book of Revelation, when you give to help keep these messages coming your way and impacting lives around the world. So call now to give and help keep this program going strong. And remember to request your copy of End Times with our thanks. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Join us tomorrow as Jill Briscoe begins a message called Discovering Gifts and shares how God can use you to make a powerful difference for His kingdom. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.